Hi, team. This is Kat Overland with Mise en Pod, the mise en scène podcast about moving pictures, everything and anything that moves and is projected. We have our regular co-host, Megan Purdy, here, and we have a new host, Clara May, who is also an editor. And today's podcast will be all about Marvel moving picture properties, movies and TV. So, what is everybody's favorite Marvel property?
Iron Man. Definitely Iron Man. I just wrote an article about how Tony Stark needs to die, but he's still my favorite Marvel character, easily.
Mm-hmm. All right. What's your favorite movie or TV show?
I'm not sure what my favorite Marvel movie is. So many of them are so terrible. Black Panther is probably up there. Favorite show? Season one of Jessica Jones.
Okay, that's a good call. Clara?
Yeah. For movies, I think I really loved Thor Ragnarok. I love the tone that Taika Waititi brought to it. And then, of course, I love Black Panther. And then for TV shows, I really like Hulu's Runaways. I really like the characters and like the music that show brought. And then I do like The Gifted, but I don't know if that's considered part of the MCU officially. I don't really know. Where does that line end?
It's not part of the MCU.
Yeah. So that's perfect. See, we're all in sync.
It's not part of the MCU, but it is a Marvel property, I think.
Yeah, well, they're a part of the MCU in my heart. So.
Yeah, I guess we could count the Fox properties, but I don't know if any of the Fox movies are anybody's favorite movie about anything.
I really like Deadpool. I don't think it's my favorite, but I think it's actually phenomenal. I think it was one of the best romantic comedies of that year.
Oh, that's a nice way to think about it. I think my favorite is also Thor Ragnarok. I love Black Panther a lot too, but I just, I really vibed with Thor 3. I really love Chris Hemsworth as Thor. I know a lot of people aren't super fans of the first Thor, but I thought it was really funny, and this one really just pushed it to the next level.
Thor Ragnarok for me was like the first time I actually liked Thor. I definitely did not feel it in the first two movies, and I definitely didn't like Loki. But I would say I love both of them.
I liked aspects. Ragnarok. I liked aspects of the first two movies, but I feel like it never lived up to its potential because it was ignoring so much of what was actually going on the screen.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a huge problem across the MCU of, like, it thinks it's telling one story, but the actual story it's telling is completely different. In the case of Thor Ragnarok, like, it's so obvious that all the space imperialism has been ignored for two movies, and finally it's, like, the actual text for once.
Yeah, like, oh, hey, this is actually what the story of Thor could be about. And it was. It was great. I loved that they managed to make a really hilarious movie that was also about how fucked up colonialism is, which I guess is a good example of what it's like when they start bringing in creatives that aren't just white dudes with a couple TV shows under their belt. So that can roll right into Black Panther, everyone's new favorite movie. Except for us, I guess.
I do. I think they're side by side. I love them both. I always joke that those are the only two like MCU films I acknowledge now.
I think that's love fair. Them for different that's reasons. So fair.
Yeah, they're like a totally different level. Like, I really appreciated how Iron Man 1 tried to be about something other than two dudes in metal suits punching each other.
Yeah.
There were some themes going on, and it could have dug into like war profiteering a lot harder, though. And I feel like if we had that movie at this stage in the game, it definitely would have leaned harder into that theme.
I think Iron Man 1 was a really strong start to the MCU, and it looked like was going to be doing something totally different, and superheroes were going to be like, for the first time on screen, they were going to be serious but fun, and, you know, like, it was going to dig into real issues. And then that sort of fizzled very quickly.
Yeah.
Because Captain America's First Avenger is a really fun film, but it's not really a serious film, and it really elides all of the real shit that's going on in World War II.
I really dislike Captain America, the First Avenger.
Oh, it was bad.
Yes.
I thought it was bad.
Oh, thank God. I think it is a terribly paced film. Like,
that's fair.
There's so many different parts of that story that's going on, and it's so choppy. Like, I like all the ye olde timey kind of jokey stuff that's going on. That part's cool. And then it's like, also, we created Nazis that aren't Nazis. They're like worse than Nazis.
Yeah. Like, I just hate all of that. Hydra.
Yeah. Like, it really, if you already have a movie that's set during World War II and it's about actually World War II, you don't need to create a secondary tier of Nazis. Like, you have Nazis.
And then not, like, acknowledge them really as Nazis ever in the films.
Right.
Which is always curious, because I know Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the show, is very clear about their Nazis.
Very explicit.
But the films have never really...
I think it's extremely clear in The First Avenger that they are science fiction Nazis. But I think that by the time you get to Winter Soldier, they've obviously moved away from Nazism to some sort of, like, I don't know, other form of superiority ideology. I don't really know what they're about in that film. And by the time you get to Ultron, they're just generic evil people. So then Wanda, who starts as a Hydra terrorist, can just swan into the Avengers with no redemption arc, because now they're just generic bad guys. Yeah. They've lost the plot entirely by then.
It's pretty gross also to have given Wanda that storyline to begin with. Although I feel like she's not Romani anymore in the comics.
I don't think they definitely did acknowledge it in the movies that she was in.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I don't really read Marvel Comics enough anymore to know what her status is, but I mean, she was extremely clearly Romani for a very long time. And if you read old Avengers comics, it's so like, there's no dancing around.
No, like, she's straight up Romani. Yeah. So Black Panther, I feel like, is a really great Marvel movie because, yeah, they pull out all of these themes from this hero that, if you've ever really spent a lot of any time thinking about Wakanda, that's really the first question, right? Where have they been? That isolationism, where is that going? And I love that they just went ahead and addressed that in his first movie. So, I mean, what else? What do you guys have to say about Black Panther?
Well, I did love... Well, so I'm from the Bay Area, so I did love that they brought in that whole connection to present day with Eric, because I think when you think of Black Panther, a lot of people were unsure how it would really relate to modern, you know, Black Americans or the Black diaspora. But I thought that was a very intriguing character for him to write. And I think it's honestly one of the most compelling MCU character villains, if not the most compelling villain that the MCU has ever had.
Oh, absolutely.
And because it's just, you could see where he was coming from and you really related to him on a certain level, but also you saw why, of course, he was evil. And I just don't think most MCU films, outside of maybe Hela and Thor Ragnarok and I guess Loki, have really brought that same level of development.
I hate to compare it to Iron Man, but it is a case of like, no, I know, I hate to compare it.
You're like, yeah, I'm coming back in with Iron Man.
It's finally a film where the hero has created his own villain again, right? It's personal.
Yes.
It's so intimate. They're related. It's his father that has like betrayed him, and it's his father who has helped to set up Eric's struggle. So it's a deeply personal struggle on top of all the political and the superhero stuff. And I think that's what really makes a Marvel movie work, is when it's deeply personal. If there's no personal connection, Marvel has never been able to infuse its one-off villains with any sort of character or meaning outside of these personal connections.
I feel like Loki is a great character on screen because Tom Hiddleston brings a lot of charisma, which is why he's like a fan favorite, but I feel like his motivation...
I think textually, it's not really there.
Yeah, it's not totally supported. Sometimes his motives are unclear or sort of obfuscated, like in the first Avengers, where maybe he's doing what he's doing under duress, but also really relishing in his power, and it's sort of like, what's happening here?
His character is absolutely incredibly inconsistent from film to film, and we still don't really know very much about him. We know nothing about really his childhood. who mm-hmm. his friends might be. The only relationship that he has really is with Thor. So he's yeah. actually an incredibly hollow character.
But, I mean, you know, he's charismatic. He wears a suit well. He's very well designed.
They're very lucky in their casting.
Yeah. yeah. I mean, that is yeah. the number one strength of the MCU, I think, is that they really lean into the strengths of the actors that they've cast.
Which yeah, is so true in Black Panther, except it's for once supported by the writing, too. You've got such right. an incredibly strong cast, and they all seem to be in, like, a perfect role, except for, like, one case where I just think it was miscasting.
Oh, tell me. Tell us.
Forrest Whitaker?
Oh my gosh.
No, it's true. He was Forrest Whitaker in that.
He's just, I his career is just hamming him. It up now. Like, yo, the Twitter jokes, so Whitaker being able it. To act.
Oh, yeah, yeah. All of the jokes where they're just typing out his accent in the tweets is like the most hilarious thing. They probably could have gone with the lesser known actor for that role, but, you know.
Yeah.
I found it distracting because he's had such a string of hammy roles, and here he is kind of hamming yeah. it up again. It's like they could have just honestly gone with a theater actor.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That
and he was the dramatic death, too. So you were really supposed to feel it when he died.
Yeah, I was like, oh, there, bye.
There Forrest goes. Yeah, I think I would have been sadder if they showed the character who played the younger Forrest Whitaker, if they showed him dying versus Forrest right. Whitaker dying.
That guy himself, had one know. Line and I fell more.
Yeah, yeah, I know, which one is line. Such a tragedy because he seemed like he really sold it. But
like, well, you know, you got to shoot your shot.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, it's his big break, right? Who's the best casting? Guys, who do you think was the best cast person in Black Panther?
Ooh, I think maybe Shuri.
Incredible. Oh, she was so good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Letitia Wright was like, she brought so much personality, but like, mm-hmm. like she really sold you on her being a science genius, and yeah, the sibling yeah. camaraderie between her and T'Challa was so like, it was so intimate in that sense that like we have it's larger than life characters, but they have such a relatable sibling relationship.
In contrast, I was really disappointed in how little screen time was given to their mom.
Yeah.
And like, their relationship.
If you hire Angela Bassett, like, give her something
you
to
have
do.
To show her. Yeah. And they really advertised her looks prior to the movie releasing. They kept releasing all these photos where she looked really regal. They would show all of her outfits.
I mean, she looked incredible.
I know. She did look incredible. So I really thought she would play a major role. And she was just kind of in the background the whole time.
Maybe in the 4-hour cut.
Oh, yeah, that's what I want to see. Where the other 2 hours is just Angela Bassett.
Yeah, you know, like I'll watch it. I'll pay extra
at
money.
T'Challa. I definitely won't. I don't watch giant director cuts.
I'll do it for this cast. Sterling K. Brown was amazing in his like two scenes.
Oh yeah, he was super emotional.
So I'm glad that he's really riding that wave from This Is Us. It's nice mm-hmm. to see him.
It's making people cry. In another
yeah.
show.
Yeah. Oh my god. Yeah, that show seems like. Torture.
It's a cry fest, yeah.
I was kind of surprised by Lupita's role. It's a really good role and she did a great job with it, and I think the relationship between Nakia and T'Challa is great. It's so nice to see romantic exes that are getting back together, and it's not this immense sense of tension or snark or nastiness. Yeah. It's just, you know, you can see that they care for each other and that they immensely respect each other, and it just has to kind of fit together for them to be able to get together again. That was cool, but I was surprised that she took the role in a way. Like, I would have expected a meatier role for her, but I was wondering if maybe she took this role to demonstrate that she could be amazing in, like, a rom-com or in a family drama or, you know, just to show, like, range.
Yeah, like, were you thinking she'd be more like Okoye in terms of...
Not necessarily, just, like, I would have thought her role would have been bigger, more stuff yeah. to do. Like,
well,
it's Lupita. But
I feel
like... Angela Bassett too.
Remember when like all the casting were announced and every time they announced one it was like somebody even awesomer. Like I feel like there was a lot of hype for this movie, so people were like, sign me up for the Black Panther, like calling your agent, like get me in, Ryan Coogler's on, like I'm on board, put me in that film.
That's fair.
Sounds like we basically want a TV show of this, or the sequel. We want the sequel now. Where it's all the women.
I would watch the Wakanda Palace TV show. We'd have the scientists. We'd have the Dora Milaje. We'd have the generic people who work at the palace, all the like,
yeah, T'Challa's like, kind of like way in the background.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, like the secretaries.
I'd 100% be there for every episode.
I was hoping that Florence Kasumba would get a bigger role after she was like a fan favorite in Civil War for stepping to Black Widow. So I was kind of hoping that she would kind of get to move up from the background. Also interesting because she was also an Amazon.
She was
like one of the like council, like she was one of the named Amazons. If I recall
the
correctly.
Blink and you miss it. Women of color.
You know, she got a line, so yeah. Which is basically what she got in this.
Oh, role. Wonder Woman. Yeah.
I mean, she's getting some things for her reel, I guess.
Yeah, you know, but I think that it would have been cool to see more of her, and of course I would have liked her and Okoye to have some kind of flirtation. Mm-hmm. Apparently they shot some, but
oh, that's interesting. I mean, you do see her in that Infinity Wars trailer, hilariously, when Black Widow walks off the ship.
Oh, good.
So
I'm glad they're bringing
that back. I hope that they do, like, a redux of that.
I would love to see that tension. Maybe they'll have a flirtation.
I'm so mad that Steve and Bucky and Widow are in Wakanda, and all of the promo shots from Infinity War from Wakanda have these white people right in the middle. And I'm like, can you get out of the way? Yeah. There's more interesting characters there. Like, you've been here 10 years too long. Get away.
Yeah, it's true.
Steve had to grow
like
out
my
that
general
beard.
Feeling.
That beard's disgusting.
Not as disgusting as his mustache for Lobby.
No, the mustache is definitely 100% true. Worse. But I live not too far from an army base, and his beard is basically the beard of any dude who's been deployed way too long and hasn't bathed in like a month. And he comes home and it just shaves it right off because there's things living in it. That's not a good beard. I'm saying it right now. Chris, don't grow it back.
I think that's fair. So we're talking about the merging of the universes as we lead into Infinity War. So I want to talk a little bit about Marvel TV and how we feel about that corner of the universe.
Aren't they just forever ignoring it?
Now, do you mean specifically like Marvel Netflix, or do you mean just all of Marvel adapted properties?
I mean MCU canon stuff. So it would also include Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
So the ABC.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I don't.
Because Agent Carter is also there, right?
Oh, yeah. Agent Carter is also in the MCU. Oh, I always forget about that show.
Don't they have a new one coming up on ABC?
It's easy to forget it. There was Inhumans. That's technically considered a part.
Ooh.
Even though we love to ignore that one for good reason.
It was incredibly bad.
It was a struggle of the highest order. It was like, what was his name? The bad guy in it, who was the Game of Thrones guy.
Yeah, if we want to talk about bad villains, that was a...
Ramsay Bolton.
It was crazy because his whole thing at the beginning was basically being against like the colonization and the slavery of like all these people who have no powers.
Yeah, he was like, let's overthrow this case system. Also, I guess I'm a sexual predator because you need to dislike me. Like that was the whole pilot.
They had to throw it in, and I was like, oh, okay. I was there with you, and then
I was like, okay, well, I guess like this does make me not root for you. But also, I wish somebody would just kill you and take over your revolution because it's definitely not a good idea. These bougie ass royals.
But isn't that a bit of like an old tactic? Like in Black Panther, Eric just kills a woman with like, you know, it's just no problem to him.
I think they did that with
Loki too, right? When he
calls
Widow Amelia Quinn. And I think the middle Iron Man dude. It has sort of a case, but he's creepy with women too. So whenever they want to uncomplicate a potentially complicated villain, they throw in some sort of abuse of women.
Oh yeah, no, it's definitely like an easy character shorthand, but it's really gross because it really depends on, you know, a woman being sexually harassed or violated. And
yeah, I totally agree.
In Humans, it was just. It was out of nowhere. It was like, okay, we've got this sibling rivalry because your brother is perfect and you don't have any powers. And also you've lusted after Medusa forever. That's sort of like, there's just no build up to it. It was so clumsily handled. And I think it's an interesting contrast with Black Panther because there wasn't that sexualized violence aspect of it.
Yeah, that's true. He did avoid that, thank God.
Yeah, because I was really worried when, you know, it was like, oh, right, he has a girlfriend. Shit, is it going to be some kind of gross menace? And it's like, obviously, it's not great that he shot his girlfriend. I'm not saying that's, like, better morally or anything, but I'm glad that there wasn't any menacing or looming or rape hints.
Yeah, I would say, like, Black Panther is pretty well absent, like, those uncomfortable moments that a lot of MCU films did have.
Yeah.
And it fit with everything else we knew about Killmonger. Like, obviously, he would treat her as completely disposable, and he was very, like, disrespectful to other women. And that was thematically fits really well into the movie because Nakia is really that thematic crux, right? It's her wisdom that's sort of helping T'Challa.
If only she had more lines! But what is your favorite Marvel TV show and what's your least favorite? I think you guys Inhumans, but maybe we don't count it since it only lasted for
because technically the MCU doesn't count it. Yeah.
I was so frustrated by Agent Carter.
Yeah.
It was really close to being like a really great show, but it was just so white.
Yeah. And it's actually so male too.
Yes.
So like the whole point is that she gets hired at this agency that's like full of dudes, which like, okay, that's like canonical. But then they spent, like, I would say half of the time building up all of the stories of the men around her. So they had to make space for Stark. And then for, oh my gosh, what was that character?
Jarvis?
Jarvis, the human Jarvis. And then, like, all of these random men in her office also got plot lines. Yeah. So she's literally kind of, like, being pushed to the side by all these guys. And
the One Tree Hill dude?
Oh my god, yeah, who was like, he's like missing half his organs or something, and he says it within the show. I mean, like, it just,
yeah,
it was disappointing.
And she had some female friends, which I was like, yeah, but then they weren't there in the second season. And
yeah, they would fade, and then of course there's like no women of color that you really see. It really ignored racism during that time.
Yeah.
It was just a really basic show.
Yeah, that was actually the first article I ever wrote for Women Write About Comics was a list of, like, comic book accurate people of color and women and queer people that could be brought into the second season that are in the comics during the time period that Agent Carter is set. Because that was the big fan complaint, was like, well, you know, there aren't any of those characters. It's based on a comic book. And it's like, nah, you could have brought, like, Jimmy Woo in.
Yeah.
Which I expected them to, actually, since they moved it to California. So it's like just like a two seasons of missed opportunities, and you had a great charismatic lead, and you could have done so many cool things with it, and it was just, meh.
Did either of you watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I watched like two seasons.
I got all the way to like the third season where it kind of petered off, and then I heard that the fifth season was like really good, so I kind of want to get back into it, but do I want to watch that blah season in between?
Well, you know, I have actually a coworker who just like watches seasons at random, and she's like, yeah, you don't miss much, like, because apparently each season is a very self-contained thing.
Yeah,
I think the first two were kind of connected, but after that it starts to like just be its own self thing.
I watched the first episode and I found the concept of the show like so revolting that I could never come back. It's disgusting. Like, S.H.I.E.L.D. are the secret villains of all of the MCU.
Yeah.
They cause so many problems.
That's truly my biggest problem with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. for the time that I was watching it, was like the writing wouldn't allow them to be like morally gray. So they're doing all this awful, like, pretty fascist, like, secret police shit. And the writing is written as though they're being really heroic. Like, I think they end up killing an Inhuman. I guess they're, you know, whatever, a mutant. Because he's, like, out of control and he won't bow to the state of S.H.I.E.L.D. So, you know, they just end up assassinating him. And it's like, it's tough for Chloe Bennett's character because she had to, like, do it, but it's not tough for her because, like, this is a really morally ambiguous action that you would have to grapple with in your, like, role as a secret agent. It's, like, bad because, like, killing people is tough. So they went for, like, the easiest problem. And it just kept doing that even as like the structure around S.H.I.E.L.D. just kept crumbling because that's, you know, what was happening canonically.
Yeah, apparently in like the newer season, she's kind of on the run, or for a little bit she was on the run from S.H.I.E.L.D. So I think they have tried to complicate the narrative with her.
That's good. But through Hydra, don't forget, because they don't want to admit that S.H.I.E.L.D. is the problem. So they invent the problem of Hydra in Winter Soldier. Whereas what should actually be happening is that Widow and Cap should be fighting against S.H.I.E.L.D. itself, because
it should just
their
be S.H.I.E.L.D.
goals are horrible. They're building like flying, I don't know, death carriers or whatever to...
We could just...
Oh, the helicarriers.
We could just target 5% of the population with this machine we built. It's totally ethical.
And so instead they invent Hydra as like corrupting the noble goal of S.H.I.E.L.D. But the goal of S.H.I.E.L.D. has always been bad, especially because they're so secret that even the American government doesn't have any idea what they're doing. So what is like S.H.I.E.L.D. even for? They're just, they go at their own aims. So they're this completely secret fascist agency. And then you build a show around them being the good guys, and they're just like randomly imprisoning people with powers rather than even giving them an opportunity to educate themselves. And
right, exactly. There's no choice that they can make. Like, they're getting hunted down. And like a shallower note, also it felt like the show was on such shaky ground for so long. They kept losing cast members and gaining other cast members, like actors. Because I mean, you know, like, if it's not a sure thing, you're going to pick up another gig elsewhere. But then it would be like, oh, my favorite character, Trip was my favorite character, and he left. And I was super sad about it. And he was a really interesting character because he's like the grandkid of one of the Howling Commandos. And even when it was sort of like, oh, could they bring him back? No.
Yeah, it's a tragedy because I think a lot of the characters on their own are interesting characters.
Yeah.
It's just the story doesn't really take them anywhere, and it sucks that the films are, as far as I can tell, never really going to acknowledge them. So you have these characters that could grow if they were maybe moved into the films or, like, learn to interact with them and the plot could grow, but it's not going to go anywhere.
Or, like, visit Hell's Kitchen. Like,
six
blocks where everybody is fighting ninjas.
Yeah, I know.
Like, send Coulson in to deal with the ninja infestation.
Right.
I think that it would have been better off if they hadn't done Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but instead had created some sort of new group or focused on some other, you know, adapted some other Marvel group in order to incorporate characters like Daisy or the kid of Howling Commando, etc., and had them do some sort of, like, organized vigilante work, or even just had them be in one of these other task forces that we see appear. I think S.H.I.E.L.D. were, like, a particularly bad group to build a show around because they were planning to corrupt them and destroy them.
Yeah.
It kind of derails your entire show. And also, like, they're so villainous from the start.
But I do have to give props to them because they do, it's Joss Whedon's brother and his wife, so having, like, an Asian woman showrunner, it's, like, such night and day in terms of the casting. So it is, like, one of the most diverse Marvel properties.
Yeah, I just wish that they had a better premise to work with. Like, some of these same teams stay, and even some of the characters stay, but just put them in a different container.
It would have been fine if they were just like, I feel like the Inhumans versus Mutants thing really fucked up the storytelling. If they had had a clear path to be like, we want to bring Inhumans into the universe, they could have been like, hey, a government task force set up to, like, find 100%. And help Inhumans, you know, as opposed to throwing them in a secret prison.
And then, of course, the other complication for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is that, you know, it's focusing on this, like, very central agency, but, you know, the adapted Marvel Universe is split across, you know, the MCU films, ABC shows, and then the Netflix shows. So, like, the ABC shows don't interact with the Netflix shows, so there's all this, like, bizarre, bonkers stuff happening in New York. And it doesn't really cross over into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which it should,
They try to at the beginning. Like, there's some Maria Hill action with her and Melinda May, which made a lot of sense. And then it was sort of like, okay, goodbye. And I actually, I'm like, Maria Hill should probably show up in Hell's Kitchen. Like, if you were going to pick a character that would span all of them, she would make the most sense to me.
Yeah, she'd be perfect. And she's great.
They did have Sif coming in, which was crazy.
Yeah, that was in part because Jamie Alexander's role in Thor 2 got cut down because she was injured doing a horse stunt. That's why Sif's role is kind of shitty in Thor 2.
It definitely feels like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is kind of was originally used to just give Coulson more to do.
Oh, yeah.
And now it sounds like it's just kind of the holding pen for the movie characters who, like, didn't get enough screen time and they, like, get bumped down.
I would love show, to see and it just
downgraded.
More Sif.
Yeah, because why would Sif be there? It just doesn't make a lot of narrative sense.
So this is a good segue into our last portion of this podcast, which is our hope for Infinity Wars. Because I was about to say, I would love to see Sif show up in Infinity Wars.
Because... I know, you're holding on hope that she's still alive.
No, agree. I think she should show up. I would love to see some of these Asgardian characters that are sort of floating around in space show up, perhaps bringing more reinforcements or teaming with Guardians or whatever.
Look, Jamie Alexander didn't die on screen. She didn't show up in Thor 3 because she's still in Blind Spot.
It's true.
A show that I'll eventually want to talk about on the podcast. But yeah, so, you know, she's alive. She's out there. She's probably still got a movie on a contract.
I'd love to see her. My Infinity War hopes are mainly that a lot of people die. I really want Tony to die. It's time for him to go. I want Cap to die. I don't think there's ever been a good Captain America movie, really, and I think we never really met Steve Rogers, but I just want him to go because they're not doing anything with this character, and, you know, it's time to make room for new people. I'd really like Widow to go. I don't want a Widow movie. I think they're just going to fuck it up.
It's like 10 years too late.
I really want Black Widow to die, but I can't root for it because she's, like, the girl. Yeah, and it's like, I don't want there to be fewer women. Well, I'd like there to be more women of color.
Yeah.
But I don't, I'm like, do I really want her to die just so we can just one woman? You know what I mean?
I mean, there's Captain Marvel is coming up, of course. So Captain Marvel technically can replace,
depending
on how
awesome.
They play that, right?
Yeah. And then there's the women of Guardians of Galaxy, technically.
That's true.
And I really want Wanda and Vision to die because they're like, empty cardboard boxes that occasionally emit sound. Like, they're not characters, and their outfits are ugly and just terrible, and their powers make no sense. They're just like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't...
Deus Ex Comica, they just show up and do some weird shit, and then they disappear again for 2 hours.
Like, Ultron, if they had just decided that Ultron just, like, wasn't canon, it would have been fine. Like, nothing would have really changed.
That's true. You could ignore that entire film. It could just not happen, and it would really make no difference.
Zero important character work. There was like one scene, like I really liked the party scene because it was like, oh, we get to see them when they're not superheroing and like their interpersonal relationships. It's really nice. Of course, they'd get drunk and I'll try to lift up Thor's hammer.
Yeah.
Those are the kind of moments I like in the comics too, and why I really love Kelly Sue DeConnick's and Warren Ellis's of. Avengers Assemble book. So that's the one that I always recommended to people who are coming into Avengers via the movies. Sorry, what were you going to say?
I read Avengers for years and years and years, and the best part of Avengers is always what's happening when they're not fighting supervillains, and like whether they're a team of friends or whether they're like just sort of thrust together because they needed Avengers, because there are eras where just are like a random bunch of people that ended up on the team because everyone else went on vacation. The best
or like
part,
everyone's in space.
Yeah. So like the main team goes to space and then like, I don't know, Gyrick for some reason was running the team for like 10 years. And he just like, he goes through like their Rolodex and he's like, okay, you're Avengers now. Cool. And then you get these wonderful scenes where they're like, you know, meeting up in the kitchen at 4 a.m. and don't even know each other.
Oh yeah. In the Kelly Sue book, it's like Cap and Captain Marvel are like making kale smoothies and Avengers Towers. And I was like, yes. True.
This is what I need. But do you think we're going to get anything like that in Infinity War? Or do you think it's going to be like 3 hours of like moody looks into the sky, punches, explosions, and groups of people running vaguely in the running at each other?
Will we have a group of faceless automatons for them to kill without remorse or feeling?
100%. And probably some aliens that will be so... inhuman looking that we won't have our sympathy buttons pushed.
Yeah, I don't think there's no space for character development. Like, how could there be? There's like 25 characters they have to balance. Maybe 30.
In theory,
who knows?
The 60 previous movies have given us characterization.
Yeah, I think it's just going to be 3 hours of like bombastic action. Everyone getting their face, you know, like crushed into the dirt and just doing their best.
I enjoyed the like four different films parts that they cut together to make Civil War. And I do think the Russo brothers, because they came from shows like Arrested Development, are really good at creating scenes that are enjoyable to watch with that many characters.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like the fight scene was really like, why are we all fighting in an airplane hangar? But I really enjoyed all the interpersonal, yeah. like,
I thought it was a fun happened. Moment, even though it absolutely didn't fit in that film. And I don't think Civil War should have come out. It was still like a good
right, sure.
moment. Yeah. You know, it was like a fun moment, you know, like Thanksgiving like, Day movie thing.
Right. And like their friendships and stuff. I do really like the way that they sort of build in character moments in yeah. the fight scenes.
Yeah, like I would say the Falcon and Bucky moments were actually funny, even though yeah. I think.
But too bro-y, I think, because
oh, yeah,
Bucky just got off, got out of the ice. Oh. It's a little
yeah.
weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is a little too cash, but I guess it's like, well, who gets to be Cap's best friend? And I would watch the Buddy spinoff that Anthony Mackie and Sebastian Stan have talked about.
Absolutely. Interviews. I would watch a show with them as, like, unhappy roommates in the Avengers compound.
Oh my god, like, if Steve Rogers dies, then I definitely want the next Cap movie to just be them, like, both trying to be Cap and, like, living together and just being like, ugh, this guy.
Is it like, it's like a timeshare Cap?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, one's the Cap by night, the other's Cap by day.
Exactly. And then, like, obviously they're going to try to, like, bro out, like, who's the better Cap? Like, I can save more civilians than you, that kind of shit. Like, I mean, you know.
But there's a flying shield. Cap. And, like,
yeah.
a cyborg and, like, metal arm Cap. Different, right?
Wolf, white wolf Cap.
I guess, yeah, exactly. I actually have, like, a hope for Infinity War, and it's that it makes less money than Black Panther.
Yeah, I'm like, it's low key. I'm already waiting for it to pass Avengers like any day now.
I'm counting it down.
Yeah.
When I think about to when Avengers came out, and like after I got, like immediately after I got out of Avengers, it was like, wow, that's really cool. And then like 2 days later, it was like, was that movie actually not that good? And now with Black Panther, it's like, oh. This is actually, like, the top tier. This is what we could have.
We could have always had that, but instead we've been burdened with these terrible Joss Whedon monstrosities. And I don't know how much control the Russo brothers have over the films that they've done. They really do bring their strengths, like you say, Kat, like, with the character moments and stuff. But it feels like they've been saddled with a really bizarre plot to try to shoehorn in. Because they did Winter Soldier. They did Civil War, and now they're doing this monstrosity. So have they ever had a chance to actually just tell a story? Or has it always been them being forced to clean up after Joss Whedon's failure to set up?
So I think Winter Soldier is probably, like, the closest that they've gotten to do their own story.
Yeah,
and I think the real problem with Winter Soldier, to me, is that Captain America, the First Avenger, did not set up enough of the Cap-Bucky relationship for me to be... Like, I bought into it because I'm a fan outside of these films, and I like these characters, and I'm already invested in that relationship, so I'm, like, filling in a lot. But if you were just watching these films, you probably wouldn't buy, like, Steve Rogers is gonna, like, flip his shit for this dude that we sort of saw. Like, I guess that was a traumatic moment, but, like, that real deep bond was just not there. And the Russo brothers, like, what are you gonna do? Now you're on sequel duty, and that's the story, so...
I actually think it works fairly well in Civil War because Steve doesn't really do anything too wild, right?
That's true.
Like, he's very much more concerned with Hydra infiltrating S.H.I.E.L.D., so he has a bigger goal, and he keeps pursuing it. It's in Civil War where his characterization really gets derailed, and you have to have bought into their relationship so deeply that you can actually buy that he'd be like, man, fuck the UN, fuck my friends, fuck all my colleagues, basically fuck everyone. I love Bucky, everyone else can burn, I'm going to Wakanda, peace out.
Right, no, I mean, like, everything is sort of built on this sort of shaky, poorly paced, like, house of First Avengers.
Yeah.
But I think it works pretty well in Winter Soldier. Like, Bucky has actually, like, comparatively very little screen time. Most of his screen time is concerned with him just looking threatening. So the Bucky and Steve moments are actually quite confined.
And I do think Winter Soldier is even better than Civil War in creating these characterization moments really tactily through body language, fighting style, like that scene on the bridge with the knife fight. Like, you learn a lot about the characters. Yeah. even though there's hardly any dialogue. So I think that's really a strength that they're definitely going to be leaning the hell on in Infinity Wars. Yeah. So I'm hoping for a lot of petty squabbling.
I don't know how much hope I have for Infinity War, because I think Civil War demonstrated, I guess, just how far their strengths can carry them. And it's not that far when they're saddled with 80 characters. Like, they had at least 10 too many people in play, and they really struggled to knit together all of the elements that they needed to knit together. Clara, you got to tell us your Infinity
War story. Yeah, I would say that my Infinity Wars hopes is a lot like Megan's. I really do think it's time to phase out the original Avengers, with the exception of maybe Thor, just because I feel like they really only started finding his true character, Thor Ragnarok, and I just feel like, and they did say that he was going to have a lot to do, and it makes sense because he's one of the, you know, like the cosmic stronger Avengers, and I can see him kind of existing beyond Infinity Wars, maybe not necessarily.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, he's harder to kill.
Yeah. Do you want to keep anyone from the second wave of Avengers, like the Sam Wilson, Bucky sort of? Do you want to keep any of those people, or are you ready to just clean slate?
Honestly, I'm done with Bucky, but I know that, like, they're obviously building him up, you know, like with the whole White Wolf reference and Black Panther. I feel like they're building him up to be to be a new character, so I would love to get rid of him, but, you know, I think he's going to be there.
Oh, man, Shuri's burn. Like, you brought me another broken white boy to fix. Oh, my God. I was like, yes.
And she was, like, excited about it, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know about him. I feel like they haven't used Falcon at all. He's always just basically been, like, the mental, emotional support of Steve. And he literally
His cameo in Ant-Man was
Oh, my
incredible.
God, that was hilarious. I loved that scene versus, like, in, what was it, I can't even remember anymore, Civil War, where he's essentially there to just say, I do what he does. And it's like, no, what do you do? Like, tell us who you are.
I'm really ready for Sam to become Captain America.
Same. Yeah, everyone wants Bucky to be it, but
Sam's so much more responsible, and he doesn't have any baggage.
Yes.
And he can't be triggered into an ultimate killing machine using code words. Yeah.
And also, I just think it would be a more interesting modern story if a black character became Captain America, you know, versus if it's Bucky. I mean, he's technically like 80 years old.
I think they need to stop having these throwback characters.
Yeah.
I think Bucky has a story that there's still a story to be told with Bucky. I don't think we've met Bucky yet. We have no idea who he is post-Winter Soldier. They could do it. I think they should make Sam Captain America and Bucky should be his sidekick and Steve should die.
Yes.
That's hey, guys, remember Hawkeye?
Oh, my God. Oh, and everyone's like, no, thank you. I truly think he should die. I'm there with you about Widow, too. I mean,
I don't have any strong feelings about Hawkeye because Hawkeye 2 has never been a character. We didn't really meet him in the first film. Like, I hate Jeremy Renner, so, like, on that alone, he can just die. But we didn't really meet him in the first film. He was mind-controlled. In the second film, he was in some sort of bizarre guilt spiral, wherein he recruited the Nazi witch. And then
the other Nazi kid dies for him.
I really questioned Hawkeye's, like what was going on with Hawkeye, that he thought he should recruit Wanda at that point. I was like, are you okay? Do you need to go home, Clint?
There's one story that I want to see with Hawkeye, and this is partially because apparently one of the things that Joss Whedon really fought the executives for was friggin' family farm Hawkeye. Like, they really wanted them to put in, like, Thor's vision quest, and he was like, this is dumb. And honestly, I thought it was a visually compelling part of a really terrible film, so, but... Like, he was like, okay, but you have to let me have Hawkeye have a secret family. And they were like, I guess. I really want that secret family to be all, like, life model decoys that have been set up by Nick Fury to keep Hawkeye on the Avengers.
Girl, I just read a fic like that.
Like, I want the darkest timeline Hawkeye's story. If he has to stick around, that's what I want it to be. His family's actually really dead.
Yeah, I just read a story where he tries to kill himself after Avengers. And Widow, like, saves his life, and, like, Fury sets up this fake family, and Natasha helps program them, and, like, it's the only thing keeping him coming, and he finds out, and he tries to kill himself again.
I mean,
that is incredible. I mean, I would be down for that if it mentally and seats him, and then they have to bring in Kate Bishop. Like, that is only story that I would support.
Okay,
for Hawkeye.
Yeah, then Arden Cho rides in and gets to be, Arden Cho is like my...
Yeah, Nick Fury like goes on the phone, he's like, okay, our Hawkeye, he's out, he's out. come in right now. And she just shows up.
I think Hawkeye would be a better fit maybe on the Netflix shows. Like the new Hawkeye, right? Because like...
Oh yeah, like Kate Bishop on Jessica Jones, right. That would be great.
And Arden Cho specifically with Kristen Ritter and the rest of that cast would be great.
That would be really good. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I also really want Doctor Strange to die. We have but he's got to die. He got to go.
We're going to have Benedict to hear Wong. His bad accent for like 5 movies at least.
Benedict Wong is like the second person in the Infinity War trailer though, so like if we could just kill the lesser Benedict and have Benedict Wong.
I didn't actually watch Doctor Strange cuz it looks so terrible and I was like, who cares anyway, right? Why isn't Wong the Sorcerer Supreme?
Racism.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I thought that's what it was.
And then they put what's her name, Tilda Swinton, as Ancient One, which she advertised as like, oh, it's, you know, a role for an older woman, so important. But she dies. She literally has to die so like Doctor Strange can live and be more powerful. And I'm like, okay, this is super empowering for women. Yeah, great.
Yeah. I don't know why you'd have Benedict Wong and Chiwetel Ejiofor in your movie, and neither of them are the lead. Like, what?
Yeah.
So they gotta go. I really want Peter Parker to die.
Sorry, who did you want?
Peter Parker should die.
Okay, I'm fine with that. He's cute and all, like, but I don't care.
I want him to fall through like a time warp, and he comes out and he's older Peter, and then he brings in Miles. And Cindy.
Yeah, that's what I just don't care, and I don't think they're ever gonna make like my dream Spider-Man movie, which is like we have all of these other Spider-Man actors, mm-hmm. and if they mm-hmm. don't all interact in at least one film, then like why are
do
we
you just
want to
see Andrew Garfield again?
No, but like to do something. Like, yes, I do, but to do something so like comic book to get to do it in a comic book movie, like that's such a wasted opportunity.
Why don't we just wait 10 years and Andrew Garfield can be like Miles's dad?
Like, I just, I think what Kat wants is, like, Tobey Maguire showing up as, like, the creepy, like, gym teacher or something, right?
Yes. No, I absolutely want it.
Which would be hilarious, and I would
want his mustache.
Or, like, Mayday's dad, so he has to die so she can live, you know? Like, I want a Web Warriors movie, actually, is what I want. Yeah. But, everybody gotta go.
For
like
phase 4.
All the sidekicks can stay.
Yeah. I have another hope. And it's actually about Hope. It's about Hope Van Dyne. I would like to see Hope just be so much more effective and, like, recognized for being a better superhero than Ant-Man. That's what I want to have happen in Infinity Ward. I want everyone to just be like, why is this guy here?
Yeah, Paul Rudd, get the hell out of the way. Bring this girl to the front. Like, I hope she gets to talk to Black Widow or another woman at some point in the film. I hope some women get to speak to each other.
It has been 18 years, and I am still bitter that the Wasp was not a founding Avenger.
Yo. Oh, yeah. Tony needs a Wasp, too.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. If you have Tony and Janet together, like 90% of the problems that they're having now with like Tony warping the narrative or like the personality conflicts, they're gone because they balance
each
other.
Like, we would not get Ultron in a universe with Janet.
Oh, yeah.
She'd just roll right in. But like, I like Ant-Man's like ancillary cast, so I guess he can't die yet. Or if he dies, then Hope has to stay alive.
He doesn't need to die, he just needs to be humiliated.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Then I'll be satisfied.
I think that's, from the trailer, that appears to be the entire premise of Ant-Man and the Wasp. That's just Paul Rudd getting emasculated over and over again. And you know what? I'm fine with it.
Yeah. They acknowledge it,
So past Infinity War, what other hopes do you have for, I guess, the future of Marvel? There's like the Fox stuff is being sort of folded in.
I'm just so sad that we have all these women of color in like the Netflix properties, and I don't think we're gonna see them. I don't think they're ever gonna cross over into the MCU.
Ooh,
so
Daughter of the Dragon show.
I would love that. Yeah, I would love that.
Two of Iron Fist. Instead, we get Daughters of the Dragon.
Oh my god.
Or like just let her kill Danny Rand. Colleen Wing can just kill him.
Can become the new Iron Fist. Does she like rip the tattoo off her body, off of his body, and just slap it on her chest?
Yeah. Well, his looks like a decal, like a magnet.
It literally
decal
does. It was truck, shiny so. In some scenes, so it, she could easily peel that. So.
Did you guys watch? God, what was it even called? Defenders.
Defenders. Oh, it was bad.
I watched the whole thing and I can't even remember the name. It's terrible. Yeah, however, the funny part is that it knows that Matt is the better martial artist. Like, here's Danny Rand supposed to be, like, you know, like the best martial artist of all time. And, you know, he's so amazing that, like, he has this Iron Fist powers and he's just getting owned by everyone.
Yeah.
Jessica's humiliating him. Luke is humiliating him. That's the only good part.
He literally gets damseled, which is incredible.
Yeah, I would watch a supercut.
Just Danny being humiliated for 10 minutes.
Yeah, I would watch that supercut. I feel like Netflix stuff, I would love Echo to come in.
Yeah.
Daredevil, that would be a great role for a woman of color that's not whatever is happening to Elektra.
I still hold out hope for my girl, but I don't know.
Look, she's doing the best with what she has. Yeah, I don't know about the movies though. Like, I
want to see Kamala. Yeah.
Yeah, I would love like a teen, like that Marvel Rising cartoon. Like, that's a great lineup. It has Quake in it. Mm-hmm. So it's cool that she's, and Chloe Bennett's doing the voice. I'd love to see an America Chavez movie.
That's like my hope for them. That's my hope for them setting Captain America or Captain Marvel in the 90s is like, I hope she's older when she shows up in like the sequel film and she's mentoring, you know?
I have this suspicion that what's going to happen is she's going to get her powers, whatever, and then she's going to go into space and come back. And that's why that's why she wasn't here this whole time. And she's not going to age. Because, like, depending on how you do Captain Marvel's powers, she doesn't age because she becomes a cosmic force powered by a star.
Yeah.
So if they go that route, then they can keep Brie Larson.
Yeah.
It's like going to be 10 years before we see Kamala. I just don't see Marvel actually.
Yeah, I know. This is, like, pie in the sky, like, if Marvel wasn't shit, you know?
I also desperately do not want Monica Rambeau to be in the Captain Marvel movie because it just makes her an adjunct of Carol. It makes her, like, another black sidekick that they can ignore.
They did recast her, though. I know that one actress left, and then they immediately recast her with another black actress, so it does feel like she'll be there. I mean, we don't know.
What would be cool
role,
is if she showed up in Infinity War, but obviously that couldn't happen because of all the casting. If it was like, oh, but I'm here. This Captain Marvel is here.
That would be cool.
The other one's still lost in space. She comes back 10 years later.
Like, oh, but I'm here, guys. I'm out of retirement, and I'm an older lady, and I'm here to kick some ass.
I'm an older lady.
That would be the dream, right? Like, I know. So Cassie Lang exists in the universe. So like a Young Avengers film, like a time skip film or something would be cool.
It's time.
Although Marvel hell might just wait until that actress has aged up, just continue to do movies forever.
I mean, they've been going for 18 years. How long do you think they can keep going? Or do you think they're just going to keep going for another 20 years?
They're literally just printing money with these.
Yeah. They did. They did put out like one. What was it? Some announcement I saw in the email. They're like, we have like 6,000 characters on file, and I'm sure they're going to try to milk every single one of those.
Why not?
I would definitely love to see She-Hulk. I honestly hate Mark Ruffalo's Hulk. Like, I would love it if he died, and I would love it if they brought in She-Hulk.
Now, would you rather see She-Hulk in the films or on one of the shows? Because I would rather see her in a show context, because I don't think a movie would do her justice.
Same. I would love, like, a procedural.
Yeah. Yeah, I would be fine with both. If it was a film, I'd definitely want a woman director.
Yes,
100%. Especially a woman of color director, depending on who the actor is.
Yeah, and I think Netflix is a little better about diversity behind the camera.
Yeah.
But they'll be moving off Netflix, right? I think that's the deal. They're going to be moving on to the Disney
Marvel
platform.
Streaming.
Yeah, Marvel Disney streaming. Okay, so last thoughts. What is your like wildest idea that you want to see happen?
I think my wildest one is just that, like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the Netflix characters show up. Like, that's, like, at this point, it's wild because I know it's not going to happen. Like,
Coulson
and
shows
then
up
all
in
the
Infinity War.
Original Avengers die. Like, those
has to be Ming-Na.
Oh, Oh my god, I know.
If Melinda, if it's just Coulson, that would be the worst.
Oh no, oh my god, no. He can stay in, like, the building, no. I mean, all the women.
What if Coulson shows up with, like, another BFG that makes no sense, like, discharges the weapon and then dies?
That would be perfect. He, it wouldn't do shit. Like, Thanos is just like, what the hell is that?
My hope, because I wrote that whole thing about Mantis, is that she, like, shows up and, like, literally sheds her skin and becomes, like, the Mantis of the comics and, like, punches Thanos in the face. Like, it just falls away and she's, like, the green Mantis and clocks him.
I sort of want Thanos to destroy the entire Earth and have it be reborn.
Then we could get Miles.
Exactly.
He does throw a moon. I'm very excited to see who gets, like, caught under that moon.
Hopefully the Inhumans.
And, like, they're
problem solved
on the way to Earth. Like, we're just caught in between.
My two hopes are somebody gets to be queer on screen in a Marvel film. And
this is the highest.
That is a wild hope.
Yeah.
And, like, top tier would be, like, a She-Hulk show with somebody like Laverne Cox as the lead.
Oh my god,
like,
amazing.
Somebody who can do, like, She-Hulk lawyer, has that kind of presence. But, like, and she did a legal procedural where she was great. So that's my dream. If she doesn't get cast as Big Barda.
I don't know if I have any dreams because I'm still so exhausted by the MCU. I'm starting to come alive again after Black Panther, and I actually haven't seen Thor Ragnarok yet, but it's coming out on streaming in a couple days, so I'm finally going to be able to see it. And I feel like my interest is being renewed. But I guess my main hope is just that they close the door on Phase 1 and 2 and just move forward with better things.
Yeah.
Phase 2 was just such a dull nightmare.
They pulled out two really good movies, though.
I mean, they can always pull out, you know, one or two from the phase, but I think it was just really lackluster overall. And I just really want it to move forward.
Yeah. By the end of Captain Marvel, it will be 21 films. So it's definitely time. Yeah, I know. I had to count. I was like,
oh. What am I doing with my life?
Yeah.
Half your life has been devoted to Marvel movies.
Yeah.
So basically more women characters, more women directors, you know.
Yeah. More people of color behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank y'all so much for listening to this episode of Mise en Pod.
Oh, and Galactus.
Check us out. Oh, Galactus.
Yeah, I just like him because he's really hungry. So yeah, I like Galactus.
She had to throw this in right at the end.
Sorry. Oh, thanks for listening. I like my hungry boy.
All right, and scene.